Chapter 2. At the Hotel Meister Palace, Zurich. It was a snowy evening. Jonathan and several other hotel staff were standing on the stone steps of the Hotel Meister Palace in Zurich. They were waiting to welcome their guests. "It must be a different Roper," Jonathan had thought this afternoon when he saw the list of guests who were arriving that evening. Roper, R.O., a group of 16, arriving from Athens by private plane at 9:30 p.m. "There must be two Ropers who are dealers and live in Nassau," he told himself. It was the middle of winter, and there were very few guests staying at the hotel. Thick snow filled the air and lay on the ground. The weather was terrible, even for Switzerland. "Maybe Roper's plane will not be able to land in this weather," Jonathan thought. But a minute later, several long black limousines drove quietly through the gate, and some men and a young woman got out of the first car. They were all wearing very expensive clothes. The woman was in her 20s and had golden brown hair. She wore a long coat that reached her feet. She did not look like Sophie, but she was very beautiful. Jonathan watched her moving up the steps to the terrace on light feet. Next to her was a tall man of around 50 years old, who wore a brown leather jacket. He was strong, and he had thick hair that was grey around the ears. Several bodyguards stood around him as he came to the top of the steps and confidently shook hands with some of the staff. Then he turned to Jonathan.
"I'm Richard Roper," he said,
and he took Jonathan's hand in his. He had the lazy voice of a very rich, confident, and very charming Englishman.
"How do you do? There's a lot of us staying here."
"Good evening, sir," Jonathan replied. "My name's Pine. I'm the night manager."
The group entered the hotel with Jonathan behind them. Roper turned to the beautiful woman who was looking at some magazines on a table.
"Jed, how are you doing, darling?" he said. "She loves magazines, but I hate them myself."
The woman turned and smiled at him.
"I'm fine, darling," she replied.
"Have you been here long, Pine?" asked Roper. "Wasn't here last time, was he, Frisky?"
"No way,"
said a big bodyguard with small eyes and huge hands.
"Where were you before?" Roper asked.
"Cairo," Jonathan replied. "But I wanted a change, so I came here."
A large man in a big leather coat was coming towards the reception desk. He had lots of passports in one hand and some envelopes in the other.
"Where have you been, Corky?" said Roper. "You need to sign for everything."
Suddenly, there were people everywhere. They had all come out of the limousines. There were men in expensive evening suits and women wearing gold necklaces and bracelets. A handsome man with blonde hair came in with a thin, unhappy-looking woman, followed by another bodyguard. Corky lit a cigarette and started speaking French loudly to someone on the phone. Then he turned to Roper, who was moving towards the lift and discussing antiques with the man with blonde hair.
"Your friend Apo will meet us on Monday lunchtime," Corky shouted. "We can go to the Kronenhalle restaurant. The food's good there. That okay?"
"No," Roper shouted back.
"Too many people. Tell him to come here for lunch."
Then the woman, Jed, smiled at Jonathan over Roper's shoulder as they disappeared into the large lift. At 2 a.m., Jonathan looked at the list of guests on the hotel computer. The blonde man must be Lord Langbourne, and the thin woman his wife Caroline. Corky must be Major Corcoran. And there she was, Jemima Marshall, or Jed, from England. Next, he looked at the calls that Roper had made, and Jonathan wrote down all the telephone numbers.
"Roper knows bad people everywhere," he remembered Sophie saying.
He picked up the phone. "I'd like to speak to Mr. Quayle, please," he said. "Tell him I'm a friend of Mark Ogilvie's in Cairo. We sailed together. I have some information." A few weeks later, Jonathan was waiting in a cafe in Zurich to meet his new boss. After a few minutes, Leonard Burr came slowly through the door. He was a strange little man with a northern voice. His clothes were not tidy, but he was very intelligent and he had a happy wife and children at home. Burr managed an agency that helped British intelligence. He had watched Roper for years. After Jonathan's phone call to his friend Quayle, Burr wanted him to work for Operation Limpet.
"I'm sorry about what happened to Sophie," Burr said, "but Ogilvie had to tell us what you'd told him. We couldn't just watch Roper sell arms to the Hamids. We had to do something. Your Sophie died because she told Freddie Hamid to stop buying arms, not because of Ogilvie."
"She wasn't my Sophie," replied Jonathan too quickly. Burr decided not to hear him.
"So, you met Corcoran and the bodyguards Frisky and Tabby?" he said. "Roper likes his men to be English, and he likes them to have a dirty past. Corcoran signs everything. Roper signs nothing. And he was meeting a man called Apo, you say?"
Jonathan nodded.
"His real name is Apostol," said Burr. "He's Greek, but he lives in America. He's a lawyer who works for the drugs cartel."
Burr was silent for a moment, and then he said,
"You and Roper were friendly at the hotel. That's good, because he'll remember you, and that will help us catch him. Now, let me buy you lunch, and I'll tell you how we are going to do it."